This morning we have a prayer request on behalf of Regina Witt, who is the grandmother of Shelby Witt. She has now entered hospice care and has been given 6 months to live. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your child, Regina. We pray that you would be with her now and guide this process as she enters hospice. If it is your will, we pray that you would preserve her from all pain, and also that you would keep her strong in her faith and love of her Savior, and give her the hope of everlasting life in heaven. Be with her family as well. We commend all of this into your hands. We ask it in our Lord's name. Amen. On this last week of the church year, the paraments of the church are often white to remind us of our eternal heavenly home. Our reading for today is taken from the book to the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. A number of years ago, I was in a park in Ukraine, in Kyiv, the capital city of Ukraine. As I was walking along, I came upon a gentleman who was African-American, sitting on a park bench, wearing an Atlanta Braves hat. You don't see too many black people in Ukraine. And I came up to him and I said, "Are you from the States?" And he perked up and he said, "Yeah." And I sat down, started talking to him, and I said, "You don't see a whole lot of brothers over here in Ukraine." And he said, "You're right." And we started talking, had a great conversation, all the things that he missed back in the United States. He was over there on some work. And it felt very comfortable to sit and talk to somebody I'd never met before because we were from the same homeland here in the States. During wars, sometimes soldiers will ask that their hometown newspapers be sent to them so they get to keep up on the news, things that they didn't even care about when they were in high school, but all of a sudden, when they're in a foreign land and in a dangerous situation, boy, they just want to see anything they can get from their homeland. And when their girlfriends or wives would send them letters, they would sometimes spray perfume on them, and that smell just made them think about being back home, and maybe other things too. Maybe right now you're thinking to yourself, "I can't wait to get home for Thanksgiving." And as we think about the smells of home and the comfortableness of being around our family members and all of that, there's really something to that, isn't there? This concept of being away from a place where we feel such comfort and where we feel we're so attached to things. God uses that imagery in our text for today to describe the homeland of heaven that all of us through faith in Christ already belong to, even though we've never been there. As soon as we have been connected to Christ by faith in him, as soon as we have been brought to see in him that he alone is our hope of going to heaven, and certainly not ourselves because of our sins, but that God through Christ has paid for every one of them, and by faith in him we have this life in heaven. We have a longing and a desire in our hearts, along with that faith, that latches on to our homeland, our fatherland of heaven, and we want to be there. We want to get there. Our text says they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. St. Paul said it this way, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there." If you remember the story in the Old Testament of the patriarch Jacob, who went off to find a wife in a foreign land, and he got tricked into marrying the wrong woman, and then had to labor 7 years for her, and then finally had to labor another 7 years for the wife he really wanted. But during that whole period of time, about 20 years that he was in this foreign land, his longing was constantly to get back to Canaan. His longing was constantly to get back home to his real fatherland. Now, you and I, as believers in Christ, have been not only connected to that homeland that's above and waiting for us, but along with that, we've been connected to each other. We've been connected to the fellow citizens in this world who are waiting as well to get to that homeland. There's a natural built-in magnetism or gravity between us and fellow believers in Christ. We like to seek out and find each other. We congregate together. We assemble together around word and sacrament, the marks of the church, the marks that Christ has left in this world of where his believers need to be assembled in order to someday reach that future home. But the problem that we have and the challenge that we have is that we're not there yet, and the world we're living in can be pretty nice sometimes. This foreign country that we're in right now of the earth can have some pretty good stuff. And it might start to make us forget about the real fatherland that's waiting for us. Paul Kretzmann, a commentator, said this, that members of Christ's church, believers in Christ, he says, they hail God's promises about heaven from afar, the way people are on board of a ship wave in recognition to a group of people on a distant shoreland. And we can become very easily distracted with the things of this life and the things that are very good here in this foreign land that we are living in. Christian faith has an invisible goal to it, something we've never seen. Our hearts get attached to that because of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But that doesn't shut off the problem that our minds and our sinful hearts sometimes have with looking at this from a world's perspective. Am I wasting my life on going to some place that I've never even seen before? Am I dedicating all of this energy and time and money to the kingdom of God that might not even exist for all I know? And along with that, the members of the world love to ridicule us for having this desire to get to this fatherland of heaven. And sometimes that pressure can be pretty intense. When I was a college student at Mankato State, about the time I had just made the decision to study for the ministry, I was talking to a group of my professors, and I announced this to them, that even though I'd be finishing my degree, I think I was going to plan to go back, take my languages, and study for the ministry. And I remember one of the professors blurted out, "Why waste your time on that? Why waste your time on that?" What a statement. What a commentary on the kingdom of God from the world's perspective. And sad to say, there's something inside of all of us that kind of resonates with that a little bit as well. But God has called us to a better country, a better home than anything we could ever have here in this life, anything that this life has to offer. There's a great passage here in our text. Listen, God has planned something better for us. God has planned something better for us. Okay, anything you can imagine in your life, anything that you think is worth dedicating your life for, God, who made all that and who can make much more, he has planned something better for you. Just think what that means. God has planned something better. Not your mom or dad, not the president of the United States, not some billionaire. God! God has planned something better for us. Wow. When I was a little kid, there were times when my parents asked me what I wanted for Christmas, and I would tell them, and once in a while, they'd come up with something that was way far better than I had ever dreamed. God, we're talking about, has planned something better for us. Paul says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And the author of our text today connects you to all of this. Listen to it again, talking about the believers that have gone ahead of us too. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, in other words, in this lifetime. And then he says, God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. He says, God has prepared a city for them. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Realtors, when they're working with a young couple the first time that they get to buy their house, look forward to that moment when the papers are all signed and they finally take that keys and hand them to them and they say, you now own a house. They haven't lived there as occupants of it yet. They sit in their car with those keys and they're excited. They can't wait to get there, but they do own it legally. They possess it. The papers are all done. You right now, by faith in Christ, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you possess heaven. You have the keys to it by faith. You haven't lived there yet, but you can look forward to that with joyful anticipation. Our Lord says to you, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. Please rise. Please join with me in the prayer you'll find on page 165. Page 165, collect number 135. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son, we pray, that he may lead home his bride, the church, that we, with all your saints, may enter into your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.